This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Russia, Iran, and robots in the business news today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Let's just stipulate that the Russian presidential election this weekend lacks cliffhanger-style suspense. Vladimir Putin is going to win. And when he does, economic issues loom. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Vladimir Putin leads an election rally in a rousing rendition of the Russian national anthem. But the economy he leads is anything but rousing. Growth is sluggish following a two-year recession.
For most Russians, living standards today are probably worse than they were in 2012.
Timothy Fry at Columbia says Russia is hobbled by corruption, state control of the economy, and overdependence on oil exports. Plus, he says Western sanctions are starving key sectors like energy of the financing to grow. Jacob Kierkegaard at the Peterson Institute says cuts in social service spending have hit pensioners especially hard.
This is a group that has suffered. They have some genuine economic beef with at least the Russian government.
But Kierkegaard says Putin himself remains popular in spite of Russia's economic stagnation. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The trend had been toward easing U.S. economic sanctions on Iran, but the likely new Secretary of State is a vocal opponent of the Iran deal. CIA Director Mike Pompeo is President Trump's nominee to take over for Rex Tillerson. As an international commission that oversees the Iran deal meets in Vienna today, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Under the deal, Iran agreed to limit its nuclear program. In exchange, the U.S. and its allies lifted sanctions on Iran. But every few months, President Trump has to sign a waiver of the sanctions. The next waiver deadline is May 12th.
And all signs are that President Trump is not going to sign that waiver anymore unless somehow the meeting in Vienna pulls a rabbit out of the hat.
Mark Fitzpatrick is with the International Institute for Strategic Studies. He says the president wants to expand the Iran deal to include things like Iran's ballistic missile program. If President Trump decided to pull out of the Iran agreement, that could hurt U.S. corporations like Boeing, which has plans to sell or lease $17 billion worth of planes to Iran. Clayton Allen is vice president of Height Capital Markets.
These are sales of aircraft like the 737 MAX, which is going to be Boeing's real profit driver for the next several years.
And Allen says oil prices could rise, too, because of uncertainty around the Iran deal. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the 100-share index in London is up a little more than a 0.1%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment. Interest rates, U.S., as viewed through the yield on the 10-year note, down below 2.82%. In economics, they teach that new technology destroys jobs, but it creates even more work that tends to be more productive, less backbreaking. Now, that's the orthodoxy, but credible experts worry it could be different this time, given fast developments in software, algorithms, automation. Our ongoing coverage of this is called robot-proof jobs. New data show that younger people who've lived in the digital world their whole lives are worried about the tech competition. We check in regularly with Kathy Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Chicago and founder of Gen Forward, a national survey of 18 to 34s.
Millennials across race and ethnicity have a concern that, in fact, technology and advances in technology will decrease the number of jobs that they'll have access to in the future. And not just a job, but a good job that can support them and their families in a kind of moment when, in fact, we see an explosion of AI and robotics and computers taking jobs away.
And it sounds like from this survey, many African-American millennials are pessimistic about what this does to their prospects.
That's right. If we think about kind of the almost double unemployment that we see in African-American communities, these young people are worried about kind of being able to sustain a kind of a living wage and hopefully even greater mobility in the economic realm. And there are kind of many threats to that, from discrimination and racism, but now also technology and kind of the outsourcing of jobs to other parts of the world.
You asked about ways forward.
Overwhelmingly, I mean, 70, almost 80% of millennials across race and ethnicity believe that the government has an obligation to take care of workers who have been displaced. And even when we add on the addendum of raising taxes substantially, support drops a bit from 10 to 15%, but we still find majority supporting such a program.
So what you're saying is a lot of support for government intervention in this area. But it does slip some if you remind people about it could cost money.
Yeah. I think it tells us something important about millennials. One is they are contemplating what we might call the end of work, or at least the restructuring of work. But they're also sensitive to this idea of taxes and understand that, you know, introducing a program that necessitates an increase in taxes will be hard, for example, to pass in the Congress. But given those circumstances, they still believe in such a policy because, in fact, they're very worried that they are going to face such an economy.
The University of Chicago's Kathy Cohen founded the Gen Forward Survey of Millennials, which pays special attention to tracking how race and ethnicity plays through these findings. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
The most robot-proof job in the world, I argue it's entrepreneur. And there are radical ideas for dealing with technology competing in the workplace, handing out free money, universal basic income, increasing ownership of stock in tech companies so that more people collect dividends produced by the robots. That's just a few. Now, last year, I did a three-part podcast, which is available on demand at marketplace.org/robotproof, if you're interested. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer, Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.